1, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. And now going to chapter 2 and starting at verse 25. This is the promise which He Himself made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you received from Him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in Him. Now, little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from Him in shame at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of Him. Let's go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for these words. And Heavenly Father, in You, Lord, we know that there is light and there is truth. And Heavenly Father, we ask that You bless the words that we express and the thought that we give, and let them each be understood as You would have by each of us. And in all these things, we give You praise and honor. Through Yeshua, we ask, and amen. The title of my message to you today is Yeshua the Messiah. And when we think about that, perhaps even the word Yeshua is a little bit foreign to some. But to me, Yeshua is the name that is best used instead of Jesus Christ. And it is because Yeshua is more specific. It's the Hebrew name, the Hebrew Aramaic name, for the one most Christian people know as Jesus Christ. I like the word Yeshua. I like the word Yahweh, because Yahweh is specific about the one and only true Father of all, the one and only God of Jesus Himself, who Jesus said of Him, He is above me. Jesus gave Him the respect that He deserved by saying these words. So Yeshua the Messiah is saying the anointed one, the one looked for from Old Testament times, the one hoped for, the one many Jews looked for with the idea that He was to bring in the glorious times of Solomon and David. Bring back that respect, that power. But you know they were wrong in thinking that Yeshua was going to bring those things. They were looking for a political Messiah. They was looking for one who would bring materialistic things back into being that people talked about in Solomon and David. But this was not the reason that Jesus was to come. Jesus was to be the sacrificial Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb of God, that was to be the Savior of the world, at least the one who would be believed on as Savior, as Messiah, and as such, He would bring on all of those things that is talked about from the Old Testament as being the Messiah. The Greek used the word Christ, interpreted for the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. When it's spoken of Jesus, Christ means Jesus, the Anointed One, the one looked for, the Messiah. But we ask, who is this Yeshua? Who is this Messiah? And so we go to God's Word and find out the teachings. First, let's look at Daniel 9, 25 and 26. Daniel 9, 25 and 26. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah, the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. Then after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing, and the people of the Prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end with a flood. Even to the end there will be war. Desolations are determined. Let's also look at John 1 and 41. And we are looking at those that specifically mentions the one to come as the Messiah. John 1, 41. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ, which is all saying the Messiah, the Anointed One. Again, who is this Yeshua? He is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Let's look at Acts 10 and 43. Acts 10 and 43. "Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin." How is that? It was the Father's plan. It was the plan of Yahweh that blood was to be shed, which had to be shed for forgiveness of sins. And it was the blood of the only begotten Son of Yahweh. The blood of Yeshua is what cleanses us from sin, what forgives the sin, what lays aside the death penalty for all of us, so that now through Him and through the eternal plan, through the blood sacrifice, of the Passover lamb of Yeshua. Through that, we now have hope of eternal life and all the inheritance of the things that the Father has for His sons and daughters. Who is Yeshua? He is the Son of Almighty Yahweh of old. Let's look at Matthew 3 and 17. Matthew 3 and 17. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." These was the words of Yahweh as His Son Yeshua walked as a human, flesh and blood, on this earth. He is a divine and authoritative teacher. Let's look at Matthew 7 and 29. Matthew 7 and 29. For He was teaching them as one having authority and not as one of their scribes. You know, partially, I'm sure, this was what stirred up the religious establishment of that day. He was not considered by them as one of them. He was considered as an outsider. You have the words of someone that said, "Can any good come from Nazareth?" But it was God's plan. This was His Son. He was the divine and authoritative teacher because He spoke those things that He heard from His Father, Yahweh. And He spoke nothing and said nothing but what He heard and what He was taught by His Father in heaven. When did all of that happen? In the countless ages that took place before He came to this earth. Miraculously, divinely, before He was born into this world. He is your sin barrier. Yeshua is. Let's look at John 1:29. John 1:29. The next day He saw Jesus coming to Him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." He bears your sin. He bore your sin on the cross. And He said before He went back to the Father, He said to each of His followers and His disciples, "Take up your cross and follow Me." And just as He took up His cross, then that's what we're to do with our lives. Our lives are to be a sacrifice for Him. Yeshua was a servant. He wasn't a king from a humanistic standpoint. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will be in the future. But He came as a servant, not as a king to restore the kingdom of Solomon and David. He came to be our Savior. He came to be the perfect Passover Lamb of God to shed His blood at this time of the year for anyone who would cry out to his Father for forgiveness through His blood. And through His blood, we are forgiven. Through His blood, We are entitled to all of the things that God has for His sons and daughters. We're entitled to the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation. All the gifts we are entitled to. He is your sin bearer. He has paid the price. He has shed the blood once and for all and for everyone who accepts Him and calls on Him in that regard. He is the conqueror of death and the bestower of immortality. Sure, death is with us today. We're reminded of it all too often. But He conquers death in that He ushers in the hope and the promise of eternal life, meaning death has been conquered. Death will be no more. The last enemy that is to be destroyed is death, and it will be. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1 and 10. 2 Timothy 1 and 10. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Isn't that wonderful? He is the only Savior, the only hope. And He has completed the plan. He is our Savior. Let's look at Acts 4 and 12. Acts 4 and 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Do you see He is the Savior? The only Savior. The only name. And that is Yeshua. As specific as I can get. The original Hebrew, Aramaic word for the Anointed One. For the Messiah. He is the one whom Yahweh has anointed to be your King. King of kings, Lord of lords. Let's look at Philippians 2 and starting at the 9th verse. Philippians 2 and 9. For this reason also God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you see how special that is? Do you see the one name, Yeshua? It really does something to me when I say that name, and it has not always been that way, but it is now. Things change with time. More truth comes to you with time. And you realize that things that you have been taught or not been taught is sometimes no excuse for finding new things and new truths to grasp, to bless your heart, And so it is with these words, Yeshua, the only begotten Son of the Father, Yahweh. There are some wrong reactions that are possible when you consider the Messiah who come. Wrong reactions, not just to the word and the translation, not just whether you say Jesus or whether you say Yeshua, but there's wrong reactions in regard to hearing and to reacting to the anointed one that comes to you. You may choose to ignore his presence. That is, when you know that your heart is telling you there is a God, there is Yahweh of old that loves you and is concerned about you and everything that concerns you, and he wants you in his family, and you feel that tug in your heart letting you know there's something more that you don't have, there's something missing. And then you finally come to realize that, yes, it's something spiritual. It's something I was born with. It was something that I cannot escape from until I have more of Him in my heart and life. And that missing link is Yahweh and His only begotten Son, Yeshua. You may also assume an attitude of just complete indifference concerning Yeshua coming and shedding His blood so that you would have the hope of eternal life, so that you could be forgiven of your sins. You make a have the attitude of complete indifference. I don't care. I certainly hope that is not anyone that I know or will ever come in contact with. You may forget that He exists. How could you possibly do that? You may seek to evade Him for whatever purposes, maybe materialistic, maybe your own desires. You may be actively hostile and resentful. I really don't want to be anywhere close to that person. There's liable to be fire from heaven come down. Help me to be away from that person. You may keep him on the circumference of your life. Your life and all that it has and all that comes to you. You may choose to keep Yeshua on the circumference. That would be the furthest place within your life from you as the sinner. And it would be implied that as such as being on the circumference, He would never come closer than that to you. And yet He is within your life, the furthest point from you. We should want Him close to us. We should want Him as close as He could possibly be. We should want His Holy Spirit within us, part of us. What are some right reactions? One is to receive Him as an honored guest into our lives. Let's look at Revelation 3:20. Revelation 3 and 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. Isn't that wonderful? Yeshua and Yahweh is out as if they were standing before us with arms stretched out and extended toward us to welcome us as sons or daughters, to welcome us into the family. Don't you want to be there? Don't you want to help to bring anyone that does not know them into that blessed place, into the family of Yahweh? Trust Him as your dearest friend. Trust Yahweh. Trust Yeshua for anything that comes to you. Let's look at John 15 and 14. John 15 and 14. And Jesus says, Yeshua says, you are my friends if. I'm glad David highlighted that, because that's a small little old word. And I've had messages before on ifs and buts. No matter how you look at those two little words, they are very important. You are my friends, Jesus says, Yeshua. You are my friends if you do what I command you. And you, if you accept Him, He accepts you. You are righteous in His sight. You are His friends. You are in His family. And you will stay there until you do something that would expel you. And why would you ever do that? You have everything promised to you, everything good coming to you, both in the here and now and in the hereafter. You're promised that. Why would you ever put that in jeopardy? You would not. Yeshua said, you are my friends if you do what I command you. You know what He commands you to do? Same thing His Father commanded you to do. Same thing Yahweh explained to Him, taught Him, said to Him before He ever came into this world as we know. Before Yeshua ever became flesh and blood. You cannot separate Yahweh and His commands from Yeshua and His. They are one and the same. They are inseparable. Just as Yahweh and Yeshua are inseparable. The Father and the Son will never be and have never been at odds in anything. They are in total harmony, total unity, inseparable. And you know what? We should be the same exact way with them. In harmony, in unity, in truth, in love, with God and with neighbor. We need more of them in our heart and life. It needs to be a guiding force in our life. If we've ever been dedicated and sincere about anything, it needs to be everything that concerns our Father Yahweh and His only begotten Son, the Savior of the world, Yeshua. Listen to and heed his teachings as heaven's infallible teacher. Let's look at Matthew 7 and 29. Matthew 7 and 29, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as one of their scribes. He has the bottom line. He is the bottom line. And we need to follow him as the loving leader that he is. Let's look at Matthew 4 and 19. Matthew 4 and 19. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He wants us to go back, go out into the world and be of service to him, letting others know of him and of the truth that we have been given by his Holy Spirit. Let's look at verse 22. Immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed him. And so must we. Yeshua, the Messiah, the Anointed One, Yeshua, the Messiah, not only means the Anointed One, but it means salvation. The only name by which we are saved. I want to give you in closing just a little rundown. You may not remember most of it, and I might not be able to properly pronounce most of it, but I'm going to give it to you because I'd like for you to know. I'd like for it to be part of this message, Yeshua, the Messiah. And in looking at the history of Yeshua, Yeshua became, in the Greek, Iesus. It's a little hard to pronounce, but it's spelled I-E-S-O-U-S in the Old English. And then that became Jesus, I-E-S-U-S. Pronounced, I mean, it looks like Jesus, but it is pronounced with a Y, Jesus. But it begins with the letter J, but pronounced with the Y sound. But later became the J sound. Pronounced with the Y sound, Jesus, but really was the J sound, which was soft at the beginning of its use, but later it became more of an emphasis on the J sound, and then it was pronounced Jesus with the J sound, hard J. I wanted you to see how the translations came up with the word Jesus. But as I've said before, I choose to love and to want to use the original Hebrew Aramaic name Yeshua. praise Yeshua. Always. If you would, stand with me. And let's read the blessing of God to us and us to each other. Let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen and amen.